optimal. We learned a lot from our spring and our current summer program. We wanted to make sure that we maximize productivity, but also minimize stress. At this time, we're considering two different scheduling options, although a total of 12 different scheduling options were provided to the committee, or the committee did develop them, and we vetted them through several layers of our district staff and personnel. The first one is a six-period class schedule. It is what we have right now, kind of a traditional 18-week semester-long schedule. But we would refine it similar to what we did in the spring and in the summer. Well, similar to what we did in the spring was that we would have alternating blocks. So students would have block days and they would focus on three classes each day. The second one modifies that into a quarter system, and students would take three classes for 9 weeks at a time. Both of these, we feel, give some opportunity to move in and out of distance learning. They each have their pros and cons, and we're really looking at input from teachers, parents, and students to choose which one would be the best for our district. Next slide. So one of the critical elements that we found through our spring distance learning was that having several platforms made it easier for teachers to transition to distance learning. It's so much easier to use a platform that a teacher was familiar with, and we wanted to make it simple for teachers to come on board and not add one other layer of stress. However, but we did find through parent surveys, student surveys, and even our own staff surveys that having multiple platforms did create some form of stress, in particular for students and parents. And so we wanted to align and ensure that we evaluated the platforms that were available across the district. And so this committee did so. They looked at the platforms from a student perspective, a parent perspective, an educator perspective, and then also from the district perspective. And so what was decided as a recommendation from this committee was that each school will use one grading platform and one learning management system. What we have as a district decided is that Google Classroom will be our learning management system. We do, however, have some students and some school sites that are full Canvas schools, and we have Canvas as a platform for one more year. It ends in June 2021, and students and teachers will be able to use that. Those schools will have to transition to Google after this year. This, we believe that with the grading platform of using Jupyter or Infinite Campus, will make parents and students' use of those platforms much easier. And then the last one that we had was looking at how do we move into a school that is completely virtual. And the discussion was, we've been talking about this for a while. This isn't just because of the initiation of distance learning. The difference is that this program would be all distance learning and would not transition in and out. We know it's a program that's not for all students, but we also know that many students would benefit from a purely online system. And we're trying to ensure that this model would meet the academic, social, and environmental needs of our students. We would offer both APEX, which is already a prepackaged online program that is A through G course ready, but we would also create our own college ready courses through our teachers on special assignment and those teachers that we will be hiring through the post and bid process for extra duty to create classes that can be fully virtual. We want to make sure that those courses are co-created by our district teachers. In addition, we would also be offering counseling services and academic guidance and college and career supports for all of our students within this virtual academy. And then the fifth committee, as I mentioned, is really the development of the curriculum, which would provide both online instruction and blended instruction for our teachers. We believe that all of these committees are really focused on one thing, and that's to ensure that our students are prepared to go for prepared for college and career, and that the teachers have all the resources they need. Thank you. I'm going to pass this to Dr. Gianni.
Thank you, Dr. Alvarez, and everyone else, Dr. Aguirre, Dr. Salkel, Mr. Della Casada, Dr. Fulcher, Mr. Rubio. So these are our summary considerations. With all that of what has been shared, this is where we are at this point in time with our draft plan for the 2020-2021 school year. That is that we are considering distance learning only to open up the school year on August 3rd with no on-campus instruction. Given all the information we know at this point in time, including the article that was published in the UT just last week about the new COVID-19 outbreaks, and like we said earlier in the presentation, that health and safety is our number one priority, and the fact that many of our feeder districts, elementary districts, have start dates after August 3rd, we are also considering remaining in distance learning through August 28th, the first 4 weeks of school. Distance learning in August with the goal of moving to an on-campus instruction when possible. That means when health orders permit, we will begin to transition to an on-campus instruction in a somewhat of a hybrid model. We've got some percentages listed here. Those are just ideas at this point in time. For example, health orders permitting, we may begin with no more than 10% of our students on campus at any one point in time, and then transition to the higher percentages as, again, as health orders permit and the environment is more safe. And then finally, the third consideration is that we will offer what Dr. Alvarez called the fully virtual school to families who choose that option. So next steps. If you remember, the first purpose of sharing this draft presentation was to share the plan with the community and all stakeholders. The second purpose is to ask people for feedback. So we continue to ask for feedback. Like I said earlier, the survey questions are still on the front page of our website. So please take time to provide your feedback. Like I said, we've got over 550 responses so far, and we appreciate the time you've taken to do that. During July, we will provide training to staff and use a variety of ways to welcome students and families back prior to the opening of school on August 3rd. And then on slide 36, in the face of uncertainty, we remain hopeful because of the Sweetwater community spirit and dedicated staff. Again, we want to recognize the work of all of the subcommittees, those 100-plus people, because this will be ongoing work. Again, we want to thank everyone for contributing to this process, and we'll take any questions from the board at this point in time.
Dr. Jenny, I have a question.
You're muted, Mr. Tarantino.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can hear him.
No, I'm sorry. That was me.
Oh, okay. I think it was last November. You and I met with a group of parents at their request who were homeschooling their students. And we met in order to find out, you know, what we could do to make them feel comfortable about bringing those homeschool students back into our system. And now with this COVID-19 plan and the fact that, you know, we do have a lot of options, is there any insight into where we are with, you know, if meetings are continuing, and if there is interest in bringing those students back to us?
Yeah, I actually want to ask Dr. Fulcher to respond to that question, because after that meeting in November, I'm hearing an echo. I'm not sure if you are.
Yeah, me too.
after the meeting in November, Dr. Fulcher started meeting with a group of those parents. And so I'm going to let him explain what's happened since that time.
All right, thanks. Yeah, we continue to meet. We meet